7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove the leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. Verse 16, on the first day there shall be a holy convocation. And on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. This is the Passover procedure that went on in each and every household, is what is being described here, the order in which it should proceed, considering what is going on in the family normally at that time. This is what the Lord commanded in the way of holiness for the Passover, which of course is where the angel of death flew over the land and killed the firstborn of the Egyptians. And the Passover, of course, as we all know, I'm sure, the blood over the lintel of the home indicated to the Holy Spirit he should pass over that house and have no activity there as far as death goes. So that's an event that was holy. Passover. Leviticus 23:27 also deals with that. I will leave it at one verse tonight. Structures. Let's go to Exodus 26. Verse 33. I'll go to 32. You shall hang it upon the four pillars of acacia wood, overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be gold, upon four sockets of silver. 33. And you shall hang the veil from the clasps, and you shall bring the ark of the testimony in there behind the veil. The veil shall be a divider for you between the holy place and the most holy. So this is a structure within the tabernacle where the Ark of the Testimony is to be kept. Structures can be holy. Now, as far as water goes, let's go look at Numbers. And we're going to go to chapter 5 of Numbers. Verse 17. 16. And the priest shall bring her near and set her before the Lord. The priest shall take holy water in an earthen vessel and take some of the dust that is on the floor of the tabernacle and put it into the water. Then the priest shall, 18, then the priest shall stand the woman before the Lord, uncover the woman's head, put the offering for remembering in her hands, which is the grain offering of jealousy, and the priest shall have in his hand the bitter water that brings a curse. So water can be holy. In verse 17 of chapter 5, Numbers. Divine beings can be holy. Go with me to Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy 33, verse 2. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and dawned on them from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran And he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand came a fiery law for them. Of course, the context here is Moses blessing the tribes. Verse 1, now this is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, of course, we just read, the Lord came from Sinai. And he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand came a fiery law for them. These saints that came with the Lord are holy. They're in the presence of the Lord. That's going to bear out as we get deeper into our lesson. And the presence of the Lord has a lot to do with what must be holy. I think for most of us that's obvious. Utensils, 1 Kings. Chapter 8. And we're going to read verse 4. 1 Kings, I'm sorry. 1 Kings, chapter 8, verse 4. 1 Kings. That's okay. I have trouble hearing too. Okay. Starting in 3, so all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. Then they brought up the ark of the Lord, the tabernacle of meeting, and all the holy furnishings that were in the tabernacle. The priests and the Levites brought them up. Excuse me. Wow. So... utensils, everything that was packed up, everything that was in the tabernacle was holy. And finally, item number 13 on our list, the last one, is bread. Go back to Exodus 29. Dry fingers. I didn't get my lube tonight. We'll go Exodus 29, verse 34. Starting at 33, they shall eat those things with which the atonement was made to consecrate and to sanctify them. But an outsider, not them, but these items. But an outsider shall not eat them because they are holy. And if any of the flesh of the consecration offerings or of the bread remains until the morning, then you shall burn the remainder with fire. It shall not be eaten because it is holy. Bread is holy. Once it gets to the temple, it is made holy, especially after it's been used in sacrifice. So you can see how each one of these listed items, most of which are objects other than God and man, I guess you can consider days an object. But garments and offerings and oil and events are objects in a way too. But that's an extensive list of things that can be holy in trying to understand what holiness is. The holiness list is composed of, like I said, mostly inanimate objects, therefore moral behavior, her moral purity is not in view, is what I intended to assign with this, that last previous comment. Most of these items are God-associated items. I also noticed that when we say, we can then say holiness is related to God's person and presence. If that's not the case, you're not long for the earth. I think we've seen that in Scripture without me having to point that out tonight. But Bible scholars maintain that the best way to understand holiness is to acknowledge God's absolute uniqueness. He alone is just more than anything else and all else. To be called holy is to be considered exclusively set aside for godly purposes, specifically for God's own use, as well as His service and His remembrance. Anything scripturally considered holy should not be used by or associated with or attributed to any other, number one, person, place, or thing. God possesses an otherness in relationship to all things. It's just, I don't think we can fully comprehend in that here on the earth. I think we will see that once we get there. Our jaws will probably drop if our knees don't hit the ground first. Holiness speaks to uniqueness. Why? Why does holiness speak to uniqueness? Why would that be? Because God's unique. Anything that's holy is very, very unique. Also, terms such as evil or wickedness are not terms that are opposites of holiness. Everyday use objects should not be considered holy. Common and ordinary are better terms to use as opposites of holy. That's the truth of holiness, in my opinion. If I'm clear there. If I'm not, when we get to questions, ask me. Everyday use objects should not be considered holy. Objects deemed holy were exclusively dedicated for God's purposes. So that brings us to holiness and behavior. Clean and unclean term. These terms speak to human fitness. Pure and impure. Ritual fitness for being in God's presence. Those apply here in this concept of holiness. Human fitness, ritual fitness for being in God's presence. We need to view God's presence in sacred space, the rituals and daily life practices given to the Exodus Hebrews and after were intended by God to separate Israel from the other nations, show all nations how and why Israel itself was so unique, and to keep Israel focused on all things Yahweh. He wanted their full attention. If God could have kept the Hebrews full attention all of the time, what might have happened? Well, we know it didn't happen because they had the same choice as was available to Adam and Eve in the garden. The same choices that are available to us today. Holiness was to permeate every aspect of Israel's national life. And again, I say the affected intended was to be practical. God was saying, I will have and keep your full attention, that then I will bless you among the nations. Thus the, and those are my words, not his. They are his, but they're my understanding of his words. Thus, the national lifestyle was regularly and intensively reminded of God, about His absolute otherness, is absolute and moral perfection. Having the law in tow meant Israel was in a covenant relationship with God, and Israel understood that God Most High, God the Creator, loved them above all the other nations and peoples. And I separate peoples and nations because not all peoples had a nation. Some of them were just there. They were subjects of other nations, or so remotely placed on the earth that there was no nation to them. There was no organization to them. That continued for some time. Holiness was expected of Israel by God. To the national shame, we see in Scripture how things worked out and are still working out through God's plan and purpose for the ages with the new covenant that was instituted by God's own Son. Any questions? Okay. Those are welcome. Yes. Undivided attention is exactly what he wanted. He still wants it today, and we're not given it. We are compromised. And some of us more than others, but we're still compromised. Some of us way more than others. And we see it going on. That's the turmoil that's going on. Holiness is a concept we have to have as evangelical Christians to understand what's really going on. Why not everybody we may talk to who has no such concept?
How holy we are. I would say I'm more holy
than I've
ever been. They get closer to God, closer.
But it is a process. He describes it as a process. Becoming more Christ-like is an ongoing process of living life and depending on God for that life.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah. What are we progressing towards? What are we progressing towards? And that is perfection. But we don't get there. We don't get there until we get to heaven, and with a glorified. But the glorified body is the only thing that can be perfected. And there's been only one person on the earth who's ever walked the earth who was perfect without being glorified, and we all know the Lord Jesus Christ is that one man. Yeah. Some of them turned not to Yahweh God, but they turned to a being, a spirit, a being that, yeah, to worship, that they deem worthy of worship. Yeah, an object or being. Yeah.
So it goes on today. Palestinians never in human history been a nation of Palestine.
No, they haven't. That's right.
It's a reason. There's people that identify that, but they're just like misidentifying. You know,
no, it doesn't have anything to do with being a nation. Wanting to be is one thing. Getting to be and blessed to be is another. Obviously, the one that makes that determination ultimately is Yahweh, God, God Most High. Anybody else? Let's close over time. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, I just thank you for being here tonight with us. Our concerns and worries and observations we put before you, we cast them at your throne, as it's no good to worry about these things. Only that we know the truth, and often when we don't see the truth, your truth at work, it bothers us. It should bother us enough, Lord, that we should share your truth. Lord, I pray that as we continue this lesson series, we understand that knowing your truth is our job as evangelical believers. Forgive us that we may not recognize opportunities when they arise, but we do pray for opportunities to arise, and that we ask that you precede us into those opportunities in your ministering way, in the hearts and minds of those whom you have for us to encounter with. May we remember your truth, your death, your burial, your resurrection, the power that you have over sin. Sin is conquered, sin is gone, but not for us. And Lord, it befalls many of those around us much harder than you wished it would, but it does. Perhaps we can stand the gap in that for those whom we may encounter that you supply. Just thank you for this evening tonight. I pray that everyone here was blessed tonight by the search through your word. And we just ask for safety on our way home tonight. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.